Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm Bill McKeever, your host. I'm the founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson. And as we have been doing for the past few shows, we are discussing the topic of justification by faith alone, by grace alone, a major teaching of the Christian faith, and how that teaching compares with Mormonism and how the Mormon Church has described justification. And certainly when we look at this topic, Eric, there are huge, huge differences which divide us on this issue. So huge that I think this is one reason that the Christian community has distanced itself from Mormonism in its claim that it represents Christianity. Certainly when we look at the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul makes it very clear that their teachings were seriously in error, to where Paul has to actually use the phrase anathema, and a very serious accusation used a professing Christian church back during the first century. I want to start off with a quotation by Martin Luther where he said in Latin, simul justus et peccator, which basically means simultaneously accepted yet a sinner. And that is indeed the paradox when it comes to the teaching of justification by faith. We are made right in the eyes of an all-holy God, but we also recognize at the same time that we, by our actions and our thoughts, are not necessarily always holy. Rarely holy, if ever, really, because we do still have this awful sin nature, this old man that the Bible talks about, that we must struggle with day in and day out. William Gurnall, a man who lived back in 1617 to 1679, made this comment. He said, "We are justified not by giving anything to God what we do, but by receiving from God what Christ hath done for us." And that's really what we've been talking about this past week, is our justification does not come by anything that we must do. It does not come by any performance that we are able to do. It comes by what Jesus did on our behalf. And really, that's where it is. And that's why we find that peace. And sadly, when we talk to our Mormon friends, many of them, they don't seem to have this, because their church is constantly emphasizing to them that if they hope to be made right in the eyes of God, this is something that they are going to have to do. They are going to have to work at this day in and day out.
Well, Bill, so many different quotes that we could go to, but let me just give a few. John Witzo, an apostle in Understandable Religion, page 83, said the difference between the two doctrines is that between truth and untruth, between light and darkness. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is in full opposition to any doctrine which does not require man and provide him with the means to earn his way daily to earthly and heavenly joys. I think everybody wants the ability to be able to earn a paycheck, Bill, to be able to do earn a merit badge. You know you have to do this, you know you have to do that, and you want to be able to do that. And so this appeals to, I think, every religion in the world. LeGrand Richards, another apostle in A Marvelous Work and a Wonder on page 24, said, "One erroneous teaching of many Christian churches is, by faith alone we are saved. This false doctrine would relieve man from the responsibility of his acts other than to confess a belief in God, and would teach man that no matter how great the sin, a confession would bring him complete forgiveness and salvation." Bill, they don't really, LeGrand Richards does not understand, he has it right, by faith alone we are saved, but he doesn't understand the idea that you can't earn this by your own merit.
Now, read the part where he talks about how it will be abused. Is that about in the middle of that quotation?
Yeah, it says, "This false doctrine would relieve man from the responsibility of his acts other than to confess a belief in God."
Now, that is something that we as Christians don't believe. See, this is that caricature. The straw man argument that these Mormon leaders make up, that somehow if you are truly justified by grace, And what does grace mean? It's a gift. It's a gift. And it's undeserved. It's an undeserved favor. I mean, that somehow you're going to take this and you're going to abuse it. And sadly though, many Christians do. I mean, there are professing Christians that do. And I have to say here publicly, I have, I'm sure you have, but you know what? Mormons do too. I mean, how many times have we talked to Mormons and they'll say, well, you have to keep the commandments in order to be saved. And we ask them, well, how many commandments must you keep? What's the answer?
I have to keep them all.
You have to keep them all. How often must you keep them?
All the time.
You have to keep them all the time. Well, are you doing that is the next question we'll ask. And they'll say no. Well, doesn't that tend to prove that you are somehow kind of relying on some type of grace to kind of skirt you by on this issue? Now, is that right? No, absolutely it's not right. But certainly it's something I think all of us as sinful human beings do. I certainly do rest in the fact that knowing God's grace covers a multitude of my sins, and though I am not perfect, and I certainly readily recognize that, I still have that faith that I am still considered justified in the eyes of God, because it's not based on my accomplishments. It's based on what Jesus did on the cross.
And we've been talking about this all week, Bill, justification by faith alone. It's different from sanctification. We define justification as something that happened in the past when a person believes. Acts 16:31, Ephesians chapter 2, 8, and 9 talks about this is not of works. It's by God's grace. We could go on and on. Romans 10, 9, and 10. The Bible over and over again says, at belief, when a person has received God and Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, then the good works are great, but they follow the salvation that we get through justification. Sanctification comes down the road. Bruce McConkie didn't understand this either. In Mormon Doctrine, page 287, he said, certain saved by grace alone fanatics. You like to be known as a fanatic, Bill?
Fanatic.
Flatter their followers into believing that they can be saved through no other act than confessing Christ with their lips. Do you see what he's trying to do there? He's trying to make it an either-or. It's an either-or fallacy.
Right.
It's either you have the grace and no works, or you have good works. And no, you can have the saved by grace alone, and at the same time, the good works come out of that. I don't appreciate quotes like that. When we talk about the Reformers, Bill, Martin Luther, he based his whole reason for leaving the Catholic Church. He nailed 95 theses to the Wittenberg door, and it was basically over this issue of sola fides. Why do you think that was so important to Martin Luther?
Well, it's because when your eligibility for salvation is dependent on you. Luther, recognizing the sinner that he was, knew that there was no way possible that he could meet that incredible goal. He was not going to meet that standard of righteousness. And when he came upon that passage, it talks about the just shall live by faith.
Mm.
They shall live by faith. That shows you're going on in this faith. It's not something that you just do at the very beginning and then forget about it the rest of your life. That's the stereotype that we often hear from Latter-day Saints. You're the gracer that's going to, say you believe and then go out and kill people. And I don't know of many Christians that actually do that or even believe it, but this is often a caricature that we hear. In one of the broadcasts recently, you had used that phrase justified, and you had said to the effect, it's kind of like just as if I've never sinned.
Mm-hmm.
And Christians do use that because it's an analogy. It's kind of an illustration to help us understand the beauty of the grace of God. But you know what? It goes beyond that, Eric, because the fact is we did sin.
Absolutely.
We did sin. We did mess up big time. It's out of the pool time, we blew it. We blew it. And despite the fact that we blew it, God's grace is there to cover that. But the fact is all he asks is just come to him believing that he will forgive you of that sin. Come to him in that type of repentance, trusting in him for that grace to make you clean and to make you righteous in the eyes of God. But again, it's not ours. That's why when we say we know for a fact that our sins are forgiven, that's not a boastful comment.
No.
Because if anything, our boast is like what Paul says, our boast is in Christ. It's not in what we have done. And sadly, it seems a lot of our LDS friends misunderstand this. This is why, Christian, when you're talking to your Mormon friends, you want to make this very clear to them. It has nothing to do with you. But at the same time, you are not at all trying to downplay the importance of a Christian life, a holy life that's dedicated unto God. The problem, of course, is for the Latter-day Saint, is that every work that a Mormon does is really for selfish reasons. And that's why none of their works will ever really be holy to glorify God, because he's doing it for himself.
Well, the scripture says, as far as the east is from the west, you know, our sins, it's a positional place that we're put when we have a relationship with God. It's not that we haven't sinned. We certainly have, but he wipes the slate clean. And so that's where justification comes in, just as if I never sinned. Bill, I think it was John Gershner who said damnable good works. Explain what that means.
Yeah, he made the comment that we as Christians need to repent of our damnable good works. And he wasn't at all saying that we should live a life of ungodliness. He was merely saying that if you are looking to your good works as some kind of means of gaining favor with God, you need to repent of that.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what we tell our Mormon friends sometimes in a polite way, that, you know, you really need to repent of this, because this is really a prideful thing that you have.
Well, Jesus went after the Pharisees for this kind of thing and gave all of his stories of the two that were praying, the one who was given the great eloquent prayer and the other who was beating his chest. And Jesus commended the one who was beating his chest, not the one who was all eloquent.
Yeah, you know, the Pharisees often get a bad rap, but really, they were trying very hard within themselves to live up to this high standard. And Jesus was constantly on their case.
Absolutely.
But yet when you look at the teachings coming out of General Conference, boy, they certainly do sound like modern-day Pharisees sometimes.
Well, you need to do the good works, and you need to even do better, as we've put it before. And it's interesting, because rarely, if ever, do you hear an apostle or a prophet say, guys, I'm really struggling with sin, or any kind of a confession.
I have never heard that come from a Mormon leader. They act like they've all arrived.
And people see that, too. The people view them as having it all together, which, if they were honest, they would have to admit, no, they don't have it all together. They're just like we are.
Yeah. And again, we're not trying to downplay the Mormon's desire to live a good life. That's noble.
Right.
But if you think living that good life is somehow going to earn brownie points with God, you're so, so sadly deceived. And we hope that you will, in fact, repent of that belief and put your total faith in what Jesus did on the cross at Calvary.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.